All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, January 5th of 2026, and looking ahead here, we have a six-game NBA main slate as well as a five-game NHL slate, and then we have 18 matches of tennis later this evening. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use a SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, so you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here. This is our first show of 2026. Took a break prior to New Year's Eve here. I believe New Year's Eve is our last show. So we are back, and I am excited to get right into questions. So I had a number of questions come in prior to the show. We are going to start at the top and work our way down. All right. First question today. For office hours, one came in from support. The NFL season is over, and the NBA will start to ramp up. I am $2,200 positive for the NFL season, thanks to SaberSim, even though I didn't have any 1K wins. Can you go over how to build and win in the NBA small and large slates, particularly the low-dollar entries on DK and FanDuel that pay out 25K? All right. Awesome. Glad to hear that you had a profitable NFL season here, even though you didn't have any four-figure scores. Still ended up with well over four-figure profit, so that's awesome. This question goes really well. I think we're going to jump around just a little bit here with another question that came in. And that question was right here. Somebody said, I'll be coaching during the show, which makes me unavailable for office hours, but a walkthrough of your process would be helpful to me and a lot of players that want to get better. My process hasn't been leaving much opportunity for plus money, so it would be beneficial to learn from the better guys. All right, so we kind of have two questions here talking about like process, talking about how to build a winning process. We're going to focus on NBA here now that NFL is kind of winding down. We still do have the playoff slates, so we'll talk about those later in the week, probably on the Saturday show. But here, right, this kind of midweek stuff, going to be focusing a little bit more on some of the daily sports. So for this question, we're going to kind of do a two-for-one here. We're going to walk through an NBA process. So number one thing I do want to mention, your best resource is going to be going over to Saber School over here in the top left, okay? So we go to Saber School, go to the Saber system, and then go down to the bottom, start with the lesson one video, and then kind of work your way up. Some of this is going to be repetitive. Some of it is for kind of users that are coming from different places. Some people have used an optimizer before. Some people have only ever built by hand on their phone. Some people have a core group of players that they want to start with and let SaberSim kind of do the rest. So these videos kind of walk through those different profiles of users, and then it goes all the way up here. So those are the things that I would be looking out for, or those are the things that I would spend time watching outside of office hours, outside of this demo, is getting used to that SaberSim process. The process that is outlined by Jordan, one of our other coaches here, is really meant to be a process that you can take with you into any sport. So I can take that process into NFL. I can take that process into NBA. I can take that process into NHL, right? It is supposed to be something that is a sport agnostic and not just tied to one sport. All right. But either way, going to jump into our build demo here. So we got the NBA slate pulled up. So up front, I don't think you really need to do anything. No need to touch filters, rules, settings. You know, leave all this alone. Leave mini-max salary alone. And really, the only thing is that if you're on DraftKings, you can't just build lineups. DraftKings makes you make two adjustments to something in the player table here. I prefer just to touch the ownership super slightly here, just one tick up or down, and then that will unlock the build lineups button. So that's my recommendation, just two small plus or minuses here. We'll get the job done. And then we click build. So the other thing would be to build as many lineups as your plan allows. If you're on starter, build 500. If you're on ultimate, build 5,000, right? So we're going to build 500 here just for the sake of time. So this goes a little bit faster. All right. While this is running, it would be a good opportunity to upload an entry file. If you have an entry file for this slate, click the up arrow button in the top left. Use the download template file from DraftKings hyperlink. You just got to make sure you are signed into DK on the same browser that you're using SaberSim. Drag and drop that file into here, and then that will auto-create all of your groups if you have a template start, right? So it is good to figure out what template works the best for you, which one you kind of like the most. And then whatever template that is, start it so it gets auto-activated on any future builds, slates, etc. So I have one start here. If I uploaded a file, it would auto-create my groups for me. But we're just going to build this as if we are playing one single 20 max. Now, if you upload an entry file, you can use the portfolio diversity. That is what we recommend. That is our preferred option here. Because I don't have an entry file uploaded, I'm just going to switch over to Unique's one, Saber Score. Either one of these is going to lead to you getting lineups. So you don't have to worry about that. So regardless of what diversity I'm using here, we're going to get to the point where we see lineups in our group, we see exposures, and then this is kind of the next step. So that in-between step is choosing your diversity. Should be portfolio by default. I would leave it there, but then we go on to phase two here, which is analyzing the players in your lineups, analyzing your builds, and making sure you're comfortable with the lineups that you're seeing. So as far as like aggregate metrics go, me personally, I recommend these. If I am on starter, I recommend Saber Score and Projection. And then if I am on ultimate, I recommend Projection and ROI. So contest sim ROI, you would have to run a contest sim and then it would be available in this dropdown. And I would just choose target contest ROI. So for this one, since I didn't run a sim, we're just going to use Saber Score and Projection. You know, these give me data points. These are kind of, hey, your 20 lineups that Saber Sim wants to play have a projection of this and a Saber Score of that. The reason that these can be helpful is that if you come in and you start making some adjustments to minimax exposures and you start changing things heavily, you're going to see how Saber Sim reacts. Hey, we can give you 20% of this player, but it's going to change your average projection from 270 to 265. And then you kind of ask yourself, hey, am I okay with that, right? So basically, I like to use it to make sure I'm not making too many adjustments. It's okay to make adjustments, right? Especially when these numbers don't move very much, right? Like, for instance, I come in here and I'm like, okay, you know, I sort by leverage. There's kind of a big gap here. There's Edgecombe at like 60% leverage, 90% exposure. And then the next leverage is 41%. Well, maybe this is too much for me, right? Maybe I don't want 60% leverage. He's 30% owned. So I'm like 3x exposure compared to ownership. Maybe I want to be a little bit lower. Maybe I want to be like 2.5x, right? So I lower him to 75%. Just dial the risk down a little bit. Okay, well, before we were at 105 Saber Score and 270 projection. Well, now we're at 103 Saber Score and still 270 projection. So like, this is fine. You know, it's a small adjustment. It brought my leverage closer to other players. And now I'm managing my risk a little bit, right? And I didn't sacrifice that much to do so. That's the key part. I didn't sacrifice a lot here. Well, what if I was like, hey, I actually don't like this player. You know, I want to be under the field on him, and I want my leverage to be negative 15 instead of a positive number, right? Okay, I do that. Okay, well, look, my Sabre score goes from 105 to 81. My average projection goes from 270 to 267. You know, this is feedback, right? This is a feedback loop. Sabre Sim is saying, okay, hey, we can do that. But if you do that, you know, this is the change that comes with that adjustment. So you can analyze this if you're okay with that, right? If you're like, hey, you know, I'm fine with that. I'll take it. Okay. You know, that's great. But I think that this just gives you immediate feedback to any adjustment that you make. And I think these are good things to look at. So aside from that, right, it's all just coming in here, looking at your exposures. Some people have no opinions. Great. You know, you don't have any opinions. Cool. Save, upload, you're done, right? Some people like to spend a little bit of time looking at this, making sure they approve. Okay, great. I would look at your top exposures. And then I would also look at your top leverages. You know, those are the two things that I think are going to be the most impactful. So that is where I would spend the most time looking here. Leverage is players that you have more of than the field. Exposures are just, for instance, right? Like Paul Reed, 65% owned. If I had 65% exposure, I'm even with the field. I have as much of him as everyone else does. But Buzelis here, I have 70%. He's 24% owned. I have a lot more shares in my set of lineups than the field is going to. So leverage and exposure, two things you kind of want to focus on. Once you're happy with all this, save it. Download the template, download your entry file, upload it to DK in this example, and then be ready to late swap. NBA high late swap sport. Looks like there's only one game at lock, and then there's two games, and then there's two games, and then there's one game. So start times are going to be kind of spread out here with only a couple of games locking at a time. Gives plenty of opportunity for news to come out in between, and we want to make sure that we are taking advantage of those projection adjustments in the event our competition is not. So there is a walkthrough on NBA. One small thing I wanted to mention, you know, this user in the first question mentioned NBA small and large slates. I would have the same process for NBA 4-game slates, NBA 10-game slates, right? I treat it as classic versus showdown. There's a strategy I have for classic slates. There's a strategy I have for showdown slates. I don't have a different process for 10 gamers versus 8 gamers versus 6 versus 4 versus 2, right? So just kind of treat them based on their style. And then you can even see this in the slate dropdown. Hey, what is the style? And then the styles are classic, single game, or showdown. Those are the same here. I think FanDuel calls it single game. DraftKings calls it showdown. So I think these are effectively the same. So don't get confused there. But yeah, classic versus showdown would be the biggest differences in my opinion. All right. Started off with a slate demo. Couple good questions. Next question. Is it possible when setting up your lineup template to include a cash lineup group with other GPPs and have the cash lineup group build lineups using the optimizer? I watched your video on how to build cash lineups and thinking this has to be a separate build. Also, when I set up a lineup group template, including a cash lineup group, it reorders it from how I have it set in the template and moves the cash group lower. This results in the highest projected lineup being in another group sometimes, other than the cash group. Okay, good question here. So first part, there's a couple questions we need to answer here. We're going to try and break it down. The first part was, can you have the cash group build lineups using the optimizer? This is the first part of the question. The answer is no. So groups, what groups do is they take the lineups that are generated and basically break them up. This all happens after the pool is generated. So a template cannot control how the lineups are built. So like you can kind of see this because there's like a projection pop out and then there is a lineup pop out, right? There's two pop outs. Well, the build button lives in the projection pop out and then I'll say it again. The projection page builds the lineups, puts the lineups in the pool, and then the groups go to work after that point. So in order to do a GPP build with sim mode and a optimizer mode build for cash games, those would have to be separate builds. So that's the first part of this that I wanted to answer. The second part is when I set up a lineup group template, including a cash lineup group, it reorders it from how I have it set in the template. So that is correct. It's not meant to follow that logic. So what we're talking about is like, hey, I'm creating a template and I have basically two sets of logic here. I have a cache set of logic that's first, and then I have a GPP set of logic that is second. And the user is saying they would like their cache to be on top. The way that the groups work is groups get sorted by dollars per entry. So dollars per entry controls the default list top down of your groups. So if overall your cash dollars per entry is lower than some other contest, then yes, it is going to fall lower on this list. You can manually adjust them with these three dots here. You just grab it, you click on it, and you can drag it. So that is the way that it's set up. Currently, the template logic has no effect on the group ordering. And then the last part is this results in the highest projected lineup being in another group. So something on this, right? Like if you're doing cash, or what you can do in this example is you could turn off avoid duplicates across lineup groups. So if group one is your GPP, and I have two groups on the screen, and group two is your cash, if you turn off avoid duplicates across lineup groups, even if the highest projected lineup was used in group one, that means that it can still be used again in group two now that the toggle is off. If this was on and group one did use the highest projected, then yes, that would prevent the highest projected lineup from getting to your cash contest. So you might want to consider turning it off if you're going to be building them in the same build. So that is the other part, kind of the last part here that I wanted to touch on. But I think we hit all those points. Let me know if there's any follow-up. Okay, next question. It looks like a couple questions here. I was wondering when I late swap, is it better to use the default settings or build one? It seems that when I use default setting, the player exposures I've applied change. Thanks. Okay, so if you have made any adjustments in your pre-slate build, in like this, right? We made that one adjustment to Edgecomb. Edgecomb's game is late, right? Last game of the slate. When you late swap, you do want to change it from default to build one. What default does, it just gives you a brand new build. Like it's the same as if I came in here and I just hit the plus icon. Brand new build, fresh out of the box, stock Saber Sim kind of build. If you change that to build one, well, any adjustments I made in this build, any adjustments to minimax salary, any adjustments to sliders, rules, filters, minimax exposures, projection adjustments, unchecking players, all of that is going to get carried over into your late swap build. So if you are a hands-off user and you're not making any adjustments, leave it on default. If you are making any adjustments and you want to continue to use those in late swap, then yes, I would change it from default to build one or whatever build you used Priestley. Carry that over. All right. I'm going to stick with Gabriel and then we'll come back to another question that came up. Next part of this is, and do I only need to late swap when a player gets ruled out or do it before every lock? Okay, good question. So I think the answer is somewhere in between here. So you do not only want to late swap when a player is ruled out. The reason for that is, let's say that we take some high projected player, and this is a good example. So we don't have any Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the 40 lineups that we've built here, right? So in our 40 lineups, because I have two groups of 20, we don't have any of him. That does not mean that if he gets ruled out, it doesn't impact me. Like, hey, Shai got ruled out. He's not in my lineups. Oh, I'm good, right? That is very wrong. Very, very wrong. We do never want to do that. The reason for that is, like, well, he's projected for 50 fantasy points. He's projected for 30 minutes. And he has a lot of usage, right? He's going to shoot. He's going to pass. Well, all of that production, maybe not all of it, you know, you can't like completely recreate a player, but at least the 30 minutes at a minimum have to get redistributed to the rest of the team, right? It's like we go to OKC. It's like, okay, Shai gets ruled out. Well, maybe that makes Jalen Williams' usage go up. Maybe that makes Chet's usage go up. Maybe who starts for him, right? Maybe AJ Mitchell gets those extra minutes. He goes from 21 to 30 maybe, right? So the impact of him getting ruled out has a cascading effect on the rest of his teammates, and it can make them end up being really good plays. So if he gets ruled out and you don't have him, you still do want to late swap because you want to take advantage of all of the new value that has opened up on this team. So players getting ruled out, very, very important. I think what you probably, this is probably the easiest approach in my opinion, is we do this in the hour leading up to lock through the end of the slate, just so you guys know. In the Discord, if you go to NBA lineup alerts, we will, when we run a sim, we will summarize what happened in that sim. Hey, this sim ran, this is a great example of the Shai thing, right? Hey, Morant got ruled out. Cam Spencer's projection jumped 11 points. Other players jumped 4 points, 2 points, 2 points, 2 points. 1 point, right? There's a bunch of changes all over the place. There's one player who benefits the most. Other players benefit a little bit less. You know, keep this open, right? Keep Discord open. Keep a tab on your browser. Use the desktop app and watch these things, right? See how when the sims run, when the projections change. If you see sims where teams are just getting confirmed, you know, hey, Lakers are confirmed. Great. You know, then you probably don't need to do anything. But then, hey, there's another one. Somebody is starting that wasn't supposed to, right? We had Coloco. It was actually Landale. Some projections change, right? Coloco goes down. Landale goes up to kind of account for that. So I think that keeping an eye on this, swapping when there are projection changes is the best rule of thumb in my experience. So if we get in between games tonight and no sims have run, lineups come in as expected, there's no changes, then you don't need to swap. But if we get in between games and we run sims and things change and you see those projections moving and someone gets rolled out, well, even if they weren't in your lineups, I would still run a late swap to basically run a build with the latest and greatest projections, which is always going to be an advantage. All right. One more from Gabriel. Is it okay if I apply stack exposure before building lineups, or is it better to do it after running the build? I would do it before. You know, if there are certain stacks that you do not want to play or certain stacks that you know you want to play, It is better to tell SaberSim that up front so you get more lineups that you are willing to play, right? I always say, like, hey, the last thing you want to do is waste lineups in your pool. And so you want to tell SaberSim as much as you can up front about what you want your lineups to look like. That way it can give you the best lineups back. So that's my opinion there. All right, going back up before I forget this one. If you are in a 150 max contest, when you do contest sims, should you maximize the available number of lineups or utilize 150 lineups to choose from? Okay. So I'm not 100% sure what we're talking about, but I think we're talking about one of two things. So number one is your lineup pool, right? Hey, if I am in a 150 max, should I only build 150, right? This is the first way I can kind of interpret this question. The answer would be no. You do not only want to build the number of lineups you need. You want to build as many as your plan allows, whether that's 500, whether that's 5,000. So the reason for this is because we randomly sample the Sims. We play the Sims out. We put the lineups into the pool, and then the lineups run through the contest sim, or the lineups get graded, however, whatever sorting metric you're using. All of that happens after the lineups are built. We're not building the best lineup and then the second best and then third best kind of in order, right? We're building all the lineups and then figuring out which ones are the best. So in that example, in an extreme example, you're best lineup could be built last. So you always want to build the max number of lineups that your plan allows. That's the first way I can think of that question. The second one would be, hey, I create a group. Say I build a full pool. Okay, I need 150. You know, should I just look at 150 in my group? Or should I look at 300? Or should I, you know, up this number of lineups? If that's the question, I would always leave this on 150, and then I would just lean on looking at the exposures and making sure that you agree with the rates that players are appearing in your lineups. So for this part, leave this at 150 if that is what you need. All right. Next question, if I move my lineups up or down, it still fills the first group first. Yes. So if you have, you know, say three groups and you change the order of two and three and switch it to where three goes to two goes to three, it always fills from the top down. So we'll still go one, two, three in order. It will not go one, three, two. So always top down. All right. Got a couple thank yous in the chat. You guys are welcome. Another question. How often do live actual points at live actual projections update? I'm not sure what the exact schedule is. The best way to track this is once the game starts or once the slate starts, go to the games tab and there is going to be a new column that appears. It's called game situation. I can't see it right now because I don't think there's anything in progress, but there's a column that says game situation. It will tell you, hey, the last time we simmed this, it was the first quarter. There was 7 minutes left and the score was 10-8. And then you're going to see that. And then you can compare it, right? Like if you have the box score pulled up, it's like, okay, SaberSim simmed this and it was 8 minutes in the first quarter. You know, the game's at 5 minutes in their first quarter, and then you can kind of wait to see when SaberSim's going to catch up, right? So I'll do this with football, you know, for like the afternoon window. It's like, hey, you know, SaberSim's got this game at 7 minutes, but at 5 minutes, somebody scored a touchdown. I'm really waiting for this to update for the touchdown before running my final contest sim before I enter my final set of lineups because I want to take advantage of that news. So the games tab is going to be your best friend for understanding where the live sim is at as far as updating. All right, next question. What does the direct fill template do? Good question. So the direct fill, say I had three contests. I had a 150, a 20 max, and another 20 max. So one group per contest would give me three groups, one for each contest. Direct fill would give me one group, and the number of lineups would be equal to my total entries, which is 190. So they would all be together. It'd be 150 plus 20 plus 20, 190. All contests in one group would act like direct fill, except it would only give me the number of lineups of my max contest. So because I have a 150, a 20, and a 20, the max entries I have in one single contest is 150. So it's going to give me 150 and then reuse 40 of these 150 into the 20 maxes. So those are what the different templates do. All right, next question. How does the program decide how many lineups to build at a certain salary range? For example, 45K to 50K. How many at 45K, 46K? How does it decide which salary to build first? So don't think about it this way. So what SaberSim does is we randomly pull game sims from each game on the slate. We have 25,000 sims of each game. We play those out. Now, the only requirement is that the line in this case, right, in the example I'm showing, is that the lineup must have a minimum salary of 48,000 and a maximum of 50,000. SaberSim is going to build the best lineup possible. The only requirement is that it's within this range. Even if this was 45,000, it's not saying, hey, we must build some 45,000 lineups, some lineups that spend 45,000 salary. We must build some that are 46,000, right? Imagine SaberSim, every time it runs this, I'll say it again. So say you give it a huge range, right? Say you say, okay, the minimum can be 45, the maximum has to be 50,000. If SaberSim decided in every sim that a max salary lineup was the best, it would give you all max salary lineups, even though the minimum is lower. This is just as low as it can go. It is not as low as it must go. So SaberSim, we're telling it, hey, you are allowed to build lineups within this range. Then we are giving it the freedom to decide which lineups are the best from the sims that it used. So in basketball, it's still generally going to use a lot of salary since projection is correlated to salary. And we can even see this if we want to add an aggregate metric for salary. Hey, you know, what is the average salary of my lineups? In my top 150, the average is 49,790. I could actually do this where I go, hey, I'm going to set pool equal to lineups. And I'm going to undo this max exposure and hit apply. So here, right, these are all the lineups I built. And out of the 544 lineups, the average is 49,563. And then from there, I could see that the lowest salary lineup it built one lineup at 48,000, which was the minimum. Built three at 48,1. So it's not saying, hey, I must have this. It's basically just using the sims and then saying, is there a lineup? What is the best lineup available for that set of sims? So only one time out of 544 times did it find a lineup that was the minimum allowed as the best, is basically how I would read this. But good question. All right. We are all caught up here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Happy to be back after the new year. First show of the year, and it was a good one. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, really quick, Miguel said, thank you. You're welcome. And Taco Man said, is Mini Leagues better? So our recommendation is to use the portfolio diversity. We back tested this and found that portfolio performed better long term, which is effectively why we created it. We had uniques first. We wanted to, you know, push the envelope and continue to innovate and provide something better. And portfolio diversity was what we basically sought out to build. And the version of portfolio that we have performs better than mini uniques. So we would recommend portfolio. All right, I'm gonna get out of here. Appreciate you guys. I'll see you tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern. Until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.